Okay, good morning. Today's class and the whole month is sponsored by Yikutel Yehuda Mordechai Ben Gittel Rivka. Today's class is also Lunishma Yehuda and Gedalia Success Yonash Mayim Lisheva Magadiel Ben Lisheva Emner Lisheva Shefo Lisheva Reina Maka Batova Basha and Gadiel Ben Lisheva. Today we're going to continue in the book on the Presence Project, but we're also going to talk about Lesson 59. Again, the importance of, we think about this, what's the big deal if I work on my childhood? What's the big deal if I respond versus react? What's the big deal? Okay, so I react, I responded, I yelled, I got angry. What's the big deal? Reb Nachman tells us it's very simple. He says that because wealth in life is from the left side, right? As is written, evil will come from the north and also gold comes from the north. And wealth is a wall. As is written, a rich man's wealth is a stronghold. It is like a reinforced wall. And anger is like an open city without walls. So when a person acquires wealth, he acquires a wall. A wall of wealth, he restrains his anger. But occasionally what happens when his temper takes over, when your temper takes over, your wall is broken, wealth is gone too. So this is where Reb Nachman says that right before a person is going to receive blessing, right before a person is going to receive shefa, he's going to get tested with anger. So who do you think is going to do it? Who do you think is going to come somebody you're dealing with? Somebody you're dealing with. So if you haven't cleared out, if you're not working on clearing out and being in the present moment, it costs you financially, it costs you emotionally, it costs you a lot of ways. You understand? Because anger is considered like idol worshiping. But you can't fix anger if you're already on 99.1 walking into the day with all kinds of stuff you haven't dealt with. You understand? So it's extremely, extremely important. Like, even in the book that he says that the word anxiety is any exit. In the word anxiety means, in the word, any exit. So think about, instead of, showing up, we have to start showing up by growing up and growing up by showing up. When we start showing up and growing up, then we deal with the anxiety, we turn it into excitement, we deal with the opportunity. Otherwise, we're looking for the exits. And the exits, all of a sudden, you're still not dealing with those things in life. So remember, anxiety, don't look for the exit every time you have an anxiety attack. Don't look for the exit. Look for where did I lose my trust? What's holding me back? What's the fear that I'm afraid of tackling? Stop looking for the exit signs. It's a great line. Stop looking for the exit signs and start checking in and saying, how do I turn this anxiety into excitement? This is the only difference between people who are really successful and not. It's how they handle challenges. Why does a coach get paid $20 million? Because he knows he doesn't hit the exit sign when he's down, 3 points and 5 seconds left. He knows what to do. It's all about that calm confidence. Lahavdil. If you look at Patrick Mahomes, talk about a guy who's got calm confidence. Talk about a guy who has calm confidence, and that's why he's Super Bowl. So in spiritually, financially, this is an area where you have to be able to clear. The more you clear out the past, the better and more successful you will be in the future. I cannot stress to you how important this is. If you tell me you have no time for it, then it's not a lack of time. It's a lack of direction. That's really the problem. It's a lack of direction. You're not in the right. You're not doing the right direction. Gives another example here. How it's like oil and water, right? Oil, your water, oil is the past. Oil is all the stuff in the past. So you have to let oil rise up. And if you notice it rise up, you notice, okay, that's my past. Let it rise up. It's got to get clear. But what happens is when you get reactive in life, you're shaking the bottle and you're not allowing anything to happen. That's what the whole thing. The more we get reactive, we're taking the oil and water and we're shaking it up, and then all of a sudden, you don't know what's what. And so it cannot be cleared up. Versus, this is oil and this is water. This is a projection, this is a reflection. That is really, really the key. He begins the first week saying, by for 1 week, you have to breathe 15 minutes constantly, all day long, twice a day. Okay? I didn't do that one. I did more of the Wim Hof one. Wim Hof. But what happens is breathing, which is, Rav Arya Kaplan said this. He says, it's incredible. This line should all of a sudden say, oh my God, I have to breathe. Rav Arya Kaplan says, breathing is the best way to tap into the subconscious. Breathing is the best way to tap into the subconscious. So people are, today they go to systematic breathing, systematic work, they go to all kinds of breathing and trauma and breathing. Yes, because why is trauma related to breathing? It's very, very connected. It's very good because your nervous system is connected to your breath. So to tap into the subconscious, which is running the show anyway, you have to tap into your breath. I like the Wim Hof method, which is 11 minutes. Sometimes I do 18 minutes. And what that does is it gets you into a zone. It gets you into a zone. It gets you completely present. Nothing can affect you, etc. So you should do that in the morning, and you should do that at night. But you need some kind of breathing technique in order to be able to be effective in this. Because otherwise, it's just the energy stored. So think about your life being a oil and water, and think about when you're reactive, it's all mixed up. You don't know the difference. And that's the problem, because then you feel overwhelmed and you don't start it. So this is why it's extremely important. Like I said, let the oil come up without judgment. Let the oil come up. Let take a pause between reaction and response. Like Reb Nachman says, financially you will make parnasa, you will make wealth, because anger comes from the north. So if you think about it, if I have that calm, trust, confidence, I will be able to get to that point. So the second week where he recommends, and again, I'm not going to go through the whole book. Everybody could read it for themselves, but I'm just going to give you an idea of practicality for the purpose of this class. He says the second week, it's 13 weeks approximately. The second week, you should recognize your reflections and recognize your projections. So basically here, this is a week where you wake today, you're gonna go out to the day, and you're going to recognize when am I projecting things, and when am I reflecting things. Just pretend you are watching your life. Stop personalizing it. Just pretend, when are you reflecting and when are you projecting? And what is the difference between a reflection and a projection? A reflection is something that you go, it's a reflection, something about your past. For example, when you reflect about something. For example, somebody reminds us of our parents, right? A reflection is the occurrence of an experience that reminds us of something, while a projection is the behavior we adopt when reacting to such a memory. The difference, sometimes when we get triggered, there's always an emotional to the trigger. You shouldn't get triggered. You should say, this is a reflection. This failure happened to me. But when you get angry because of the failure, that's the problem. And if you look at the world today, the world is one major projection. They're projecting, you know, all these people for genocide. What do you think they want to do to Israel? Land and sea, you know, to the river, to the sea. What do you think they're doing? It's all hate just being projected. It's exactly what you see out there. The same thing with all these marches back then and all this. It was nothing more but projection. They weren't reflecting. It was projection. So this is where you have to really, really recognize, when are you reflecting and when are you projecting? Shalom Bayit, like what the Baal Shem Tov says, if you see something wrong in another person, it's because you have it. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. So if you see something in another person that doesn't bother you, then you don't have it. But if it bothers you what that other person has, then you automatically have that. That's what he says, which is a pretty crazy concept. Right? It's a pretty crazy concept to think about. But if something else that you're going through with somebody else, that it bothers you. That person could have many things, but if it doesn't bother you, then you don't have it. But if that person is triggering you or bothering you, you have a portion of that. Where do we know another example? We know another famous example from when the Jews were in the wilderness, right? And they said that the water tasted bitter. Rashi says it tasted bitter because they were bitter. It was their own projections. You understand? They were bitter. That's why the water tasted bitter. This person is horrible because I have that inside of me. You understand? This person hates me because you hate yourself and you feel that. Again, only if the other person, if it bothers you. If the person does not bother you, then you don't have that. But if the person bothers you, yes, the Baal Shem Tov, which is a great source, Carl Jung says, again, the Baal Shem Tov, Carl Jung, they all mimic exactly this. So for example, when does this happen most? This is why it's extremely important. When you ask Rabbi Arush, hey, Rabbi Arush, I need marriage help. You know what he'll tell you? He'll tell you to go spend a certain amount of time sending love to your spouse, which is completely, you know, another psychologist will tell you, you know, we'll sit with you and we'll, you know, validate all your hate for them and it'll just stir up the pot. And next thing you know, tell you, you know what, maybe it's not for you. You need to be free. You need to be free. You need to be who? Don't. He's holding you back. Except there is many, many times for divorce. Again, I have myself was divorced. But most of the times, things can be worked out. Things can be worked out, and we overdo it. So what he's saying here is, for example, if you think badly about somebody, okay, within a matter of days, what's going to happen? The individual is going to act poorly towards you. When we live in time, that means it doesn't matter. If you think about me bad today, it doesn't mean right away it's going to work in 30 seconds. No. Like, negativity spreads. There's no time and space. So I'm thinking about you already for a week. Then all of a sudden, you're going to validate why I'm thinking bad about you. Listen to what he's saying here. For example, we think badly about another person. Within a matter of days, that individual will behave poorly towards us. When we live in time, right? Our victim, whether we automatically assume that their poor behavior towards us is a validation of our victim mindset or victor mindset mentality, when actually it's a consequence of poor thinking. The poor thinking, the not thinking properly about the person, is making it send. And you know who says this? Ben Ish Chai says this. He has an example. And also, we know when Moshe got afraid, what happens? Paro felt it. So energy is a vibration. So energy, we're always vibrating something. So when there's ever a lot of shalom bayit issues, when there's a lot of couples, there's a lot of, this is why it's extremely important that when you start having doubts about your relationship, your partner also feels doubt. You get it? When you have doubt, your partner feels doubt, and then they're going to reflect the doubt on you. So it could be that they're feeling doubt because you felt doubt. So when you feel trust, they feel trust. It works the same way. Specifically with the guy. The guy has to do the majority of the work on, because remember, the wife is really, really a reflector. She's just reflecting the light back. That's why it's so hard, these situations, because a lot of responsibility of the guy is to have the chachma. And she's just a reflection. It's a very tough pill to swallow when you're dealing with, you know, real situations. But at the end of the day, it's our fears create insecurities in our spouse, and then they reflect it back to us. Or even a business worker, even a child. You think badly about the child. Why do you think Azamra is the number one teaching? Why do you think Rav Nachman put the word Azamra? Focus on the good of that person, because if not, they will not see it. And he says it black and white. If you focus on the good of that person, the person can repent. The person can repent. I had somebody that came to me the other day, and she said, my husband was completely against everything spiritual. He was completely against everything. Wasn't putting on tefillin. Nothing. Dropped everything. I said tikkun haklali for him for 40 days straight. All of a sudden, the guy woke up. He wants to put on tefillin. He wants to do this. He wants to do this. Out of nowhere. I heard this live, and I remember the whole story. And before, she was a very tough wife. She was struggling him, telling him what to do. It didn't work. I said, surrender. Surrender up to God. Pray for him. I didn't tell her to read Tikkun HaKlali for him, because I didn't know you could pray Tikkun HaKlali for somebody else. I never heard the source. But she said the guy changed completely. Changed completely. She came all the way here to tell me the story. The guy changed completely. Because what do you think Tikkun HaKlali for another person is? What do you think it could do to a person? What do you think? If it could do it to you, what do you think it could do to them? So that's the power of prayer. Rav Nachman says when you pray for somebody, it's like giving them charity. It's like giving them charity. It's a very high level to be at. We're not there yet, obviously. But at least we could try to at least change the strategy from resentment to prayer. No? I mean, if we're so reactive, we can't get to that. If we're thinking about ourselves all day long, we're not in solution orientation. That's the whole key here. So think about this area of your life. Stop thinking about that situation. And this is where when the you have to understand the difference of the glass and the oil, right? You really have to understand. Let the water, you are the water, let the oil come up. Rav Nachman said, when a person starts doing tshuva, you know what's going to happen? He says this exact example, just a little differently. He says, you know, sometimes you put hot water in a pot that hasn't been 100% cleaned, right? What happens? All of a sudden, the residue from the bottom comes up. That's the cleansing. The hot water is the cleansing. The residue is things that have not been cleared. But at the end of the day, let it come up. If you're upset that it's coming up, then you're just shaking it and you lost direction. The whole point of all of this is let things come up. Watch yourself getting insulted and not respond. And ask yourself, what about that situation is bothering me so much? Why am I so bothered by that comment? Why am I so bothered by that situation? Because otherwise, every single situation, if you hear the way people break up today, if you hear the way people break up today, it's almost out of nothing. It's almost, I hate to tell it to you, this is why you broke up, because of this comment, or he didn't do this for you, he didn't pick you up, sent you an Uber, whatever it is. It's one incident. What do you think? Marriage is all day long. But the way people are breaking up today, very fragile for insensitivity. Something doesn't go their way. If the book is moved this way, oh, it's not for me. This is not for me. Toxic, not for me. Again, I don't want to burst your bubble. But what I hear the stories about how people are breaking up, I would put it in a comedy book and read, and I would have a comedy night for marriage people. And that would be a comedy night. This is what broke up the relationship. This happens every day. So you need to get a grip on why people left a job, you know? I'm in a toxic environment because my boss told me that I'm 10 minutes late. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Seriously? You got reprimanded one time and that's it? It's over? You feel abused? Everything. The word abuse is being used like it's nothing. Again, there is real cases of abuse. But this, the victim, you know, this movement today is not really good because you're not learning. You're reaffirming that you are a victim in life. And when you are reaffirming that you're a victim in life, you're going to get what in Kabbalah, what they call constricted consciousness. And in constricted consciousness, your whole life, you'll be reactive to everything. You will never create anything in your life. So a reflection is an occurrence that happened to you. That has to come up. A projection is acting, being upset because of that, and yelling at the man, and yelling at the person. So think about that. That's when, he pushed my buttons. That person triggered me. He pushed my buttons. Not the smartest thing to say. Imagine a player in the Super Bowl saying, he triggered me when he talked bad to me in the Super Bowl. Yeah, idiot, you get paid $20 million to be able to recognize people talk smack to get to your head, but you're in the Super Bowl. Do you understand? You can't react when you're getting paid $20 million. You know, you can't be upset that a fan calls you. I was never forget, I was sitting, I have heat tickets right behind the visitor's bench. And all of a sudden, some guy started yelling at, they're always yelling at the players, but players never respond. Very few times do they respond, except for one, Stephon Marbury one time. He was having a horrible season. He was overpaid. So what happened? He started yelling at the fan. Starting yelling at the fan in front of everybody. The fan who was drinking 5 beers right behind me, and Stephon Marbury's having a conversation. Look at you, I'm sitting making millions on the bench. There he goes. His projection, he felt low on himself. What did he do? He started yelling at the guy. Started reacting. How did he feel? He felt 10 times worse that I yelled at a fan for calling me that. So again, just think about this area of your life. If you really, really want malchus, you have to take a grip emotionally. Obviously, we're all going to get tested on this today and tomorrow and et cetera. So we already programmed that the testing is going to come. So when we, again, and this is where I love this line that he says. Anytime you're, think about this practically. Anytime you're thinking about something negative in your life, where do you think it's coming from? Any negative thought is coming from where? The past. Any negative thought is the past, period. If I'm thinking of a negative thought, I'm definitely not in the present moment. I'm in the past. And what is the past? These are the ghosts. So we have to be Ghostbusters. You have to kill the ghost. That's what a Ghostbuster is. Kill the past. That means any negative experience that you think about. Why would I be negative at all, if you think about it, practically? You can't be negative if you're in the present moment. It's impossible to be negative in the present moment if it's not something about the past. Which is, wow, that's a pretty... And what is negativity, like Reb Nachman says in Lesson 49? I'm just trying to bring a Kabbalistic language to this conversation. But Reb Nachman says in Lesson 49, you're born with two yuds. The Yetzer Tov is a positive. Positive thoughts are good thoughts. Negative thoughts are the Yetzer Hara. So any negative thought that you have practically today is coming from your evil inclination, which is the past. Which is exactly the past. Living in the past. It's not the present moment. Because remember, what does a malik want to do? It wants to track you when you're weak. So if you have a negative thought right away, it's the past. That's how you know. You don't have to believe. Take all the money you're investing in therapy and please support the podcast. We could feed people food for Shabbat. Okay? That is the past. So this is why Hasidus doesn't recommend talking about the past so much. Only as a reflection, but they don't recommend. The Reb Nachman never replayed the past. Never replayed the past, because the whole concept of according to the Arizal, is God is recreating the world every single day. So it's like this new day is just a new recreation. Who cares what happened yesterday? Again, we're not at that level, obviously. If we were at that level, we would all be present and have tons of energy. But that's how it is, by the way, to live with tons of energy. So think about that area in your life. If you're very reactive, it's definitely you're living way in the past. You're living way in the past. And this is why I always tell, you know, before people, anything I'm dating, when you're dating, if you've had a past relationship, you have to take out the trash. You have to clear all that. The worst thing you want to do is bring bad merchandise into a new store. So you have a new relationship and people are bringing old merchandise into a new relationship. This is the worst thing you could do. Oh, my ex did that. Oh, great. That's just what I want to hear. Don't say those things. You want to come in fresh. You don't want to go in there like you got hit with a garbage truck in your whole life and got dumped on the garbage truck. So this is extremely important. Don't become a Ghostbuster today. Kill the ghost. Let the ghost, let them come out, etc. So whenever anything happens to us that upsets us emotionally, whether it appears as an event or another person's behavior, we are experiencing a reflection of the past. Whenever we react to that memory, physically, mentally, emotionally, then we are projecting that situation. When we are projecting. So again, emotional. So really, anytime you're emotionally upset, it's really all is happening is a memory is being recalled. Anytime you're emotionally upset, just think of it as it's a memory being recalled. All we're doing is recalling a past event, etc. It's all we're doing. So if you're acting like, for example, somebody triggers you, and you see this all the time, you know, in recovery, people get, you know, they smell a perfume, they get triggered. And they get into anxiety, right? Because God forbid there was abuse. So that's all you're doing is just, it's a memory, or you're recalling the memory. So again, feeling upset is required. So you can feel upset, but you don't have to project it. That's the whole point. You don't have to yell it out, because at the end of the day, you have to just recognize that this is the messenger, and this is exactly what we're supposed to be trying to do. We're trying to get better at feeling. So the oil comes up, and eventually, I know the difference between the oil, and I know the difference between my life. So a reaction is an unconscious behavior in which our energy is directed outward into the world. Where a response is a conscious choice to contain and constructively internalize this energy and use it to integrate our consciousness, to get wisdom out of it. So again, a fool, that's why the Mishnah says, a fool vents. A fool is always venting. That's what the Mishnah says. I think the Mishnah says that. A fool is always venting. Venting is, again, you're taking the past and you're just venting it out, where you have to start recognizing, what do I need to learn from the situation? Again, we all get frustrated in our lives, etc. But our job really, really is to take these and become Ghostbusters. By assigning ourselves this task, you start becoming a Ghostbuster. You stop living in the past. And remember, very simple, living in the past, Kabbalistically, is living without faith. That's what the whole... living in the past is under the umbrella of lack of faith. It's an umbrella of lack of faith. Because really the belief is to believe that everything that's happening is for your benefit. So if you have to find a way to take the past and just flip it around to say, this was a learning lesson for me. This was a situation in my life that I had to go through. I learned, I got wisdom. Listen, I've lost $4 million when I was 24 years old. I'm not in the past anymore. Otherwise, I'd be never investing again, be afraid of every single situation, be paranoid, live under a tent, live under a, you know, be afraid of everybody. No, listen, I learned from the past. I'll never invest in people. I will educate myself on every business decision, and I will only invest in myself. That was my decision. That was the wisdom that came out of it. I no longer think about that memory ever again. I don't think about those things. I don't think about these negative events ever in my life. They've gone. Just like the balloon, I tell my kid, take a balloon, put it up, and say goodbye to it. You have a bad event, say goodbye to it, thank Hashem for it, and when you thank Hashem, He'll give you the wisdom why you went through it. Or you could sit there and the opposite. And again, it's really in life, the more we see it, like Reb Nachman says in Lesson 10, he says in black and white, he says, the reason why people are not closer to God is because they lack a settled mind. It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with having a settled mind. Because usually when your mind is not settled, you'll go into retreat and then you'll start becoming defeated. You hear this call all the time. I got into this business situation. I didn't handle it correctly. I started waking up late. Then I got depressed. And then I stopped wearing my tefillin. Then I don't want to keep Shabbat anymore. And then I ended up at this with this girl named, you know what. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's usually a pattern of one good deed leads to another good deed. One bad deed leads to another bad deed. So our job is to cut the pattern as quick as possible. So think about that. This is why I love, again, his Bodhidut, is because his Bodhidut is the ultimate place for reflection, isn't it? Is there no greater place for reflection and elevation of wisdom? Is there no greater place than that? You tell your creator, listen, I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand anything. He'll give you the answer. You're asking for help. But when you don't walk around and you don't work on this, all you being is reactive. Reactive means poverty. Reactive means poor emotional health. Reactive means terrible behaviors. Reactive means horrible relationships, bad mental health, nothing bad health, because all you're doing is just reacting. You're unclearing addictions, depressions, etc. It's a horrific life. So you just think about, get a grip on these things. These classes are not, you know, they're very serious. Owning a treatment center, I could tell you what happens when you become a victim consciousness, when you walk around like that, and what your life becomes. Next thing you know, you have addiction issues. Next thing you know, you have this issue. You know, next thing you know, you start too much alcohol. Next thing you know, you got a liver issue. Next thing you know, you got this issue. This is real reality, man. And nobody's teaching you this in school. Nobody's teaching this in life. No yeshiva's teaching you this. Nobody's teaching you this. So we have to learn now the hard way. But that is why you have to work on this so much, and why I drill this message, because we're all chasing too much. And it's already inside of you. Wealth is inside of you. Happiness is inside of you, but you're under the illusion that it's outside of you. So you keep on running instead of discovering, and that's what I see the majority of it. When you start developing the inside of you and clearing out the garbage inside that's causing the problem, then it's already there. Wealth is already there. Happiness is already there. It's already inside of you. That's the whole point of this. It's a liberation experience, not a chasing experience. So again, Hashem should help us all. Take this into your hearts. Bina, like I said, Bina, when we speak about Bina, understanding is prayer. Bina. Bina is the heart. So why do you think Bina is also negative? It has a negative. It comes from the left. Because when I'm working on understanding something, which is the opposite of, which is not chachma, chachma is wisdom, is not light. Bina is understanding something. Understanding could be tougher because understanding is the left. I have to bring an idea together. I have to bring it to constriction. I have to bring it into a tzimtzum. You understand? It's not fun to get insulted and learn a lesson from it. That is not coming from the right of love, of chesed. That is coming from the left. But that's ultimately the discipline that's going to get me where I'm going to go in my life. What's going to get you where you're going to go is when you have the discipline to deal with your emotions and you can develop that. Have a great day.
Whoa.